All right, well, today is Palm Sunday. Well, it is the celebration of Palm Sunday. Today's Saturday, but that's okay. We are reading from Mark chapter 11 today in our Palm Sunday reading. And so we'll read Mark 11, and we'll go through 1 through 10, I think, is where we'll stop. So Matthew 11, 1 through 10. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" So if you saw Facebook, I put a little teaser out there about the sermon being about the donkey. And I think it's important for us to take a look at this. A colt of a donkey is what Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. And scripture is full of encounters with animals that are just pretty amazing. If you go back to creation and God creates all of the animals before he creates man, that shows, that God has important feelings toward animals, that they are an important part of his creation. And then animals figure into some Old Testament stories. We have Balaam, the prophet, whose donkey keeps running him into the side of the wall as he's walking down the street because the donkey sees an angel with a flaming sword in front of him. And God grants the donkey an opportunity to speak to Balaam. And so the animal actually talks to him. And then on another occasion, Jonah is thrown into the sea and an animal like a fish, a large fish, swims up and swallows up Jonah. And holds him in there for 3 days and then spits him up on the seashore. And then there are all kinds of other places where animals figure into the work that God is doing. And here, the animal, the colt of a donkey, a young foal, the one that no one has ever ridden on before, could be like if you're trying to break a horse, I don't know, it might be difficult to get on the back of this colt. We're not sure. And the other question I always have is, did the colt know who it was that was riding on his back? I mean, if Jonah could be swallowed by a fish that God sends, and Balaam's donkey can talk, what did the colt know about who was going to be riding him into Jerusalem? Sometimes I think about those things and I go, wow, that's pretty amazing. God using the creatures, God using all of his kingdom, not just people, not just angels, but the very creation he uses to proclaim his work and to complete the redemptive work that he's going to do through Christ. And so I wanted to at least touch on that idea that God has some incredible plans in mind that we can't even fathom. We can't even imagine the importance that some of these creatures will play in God's kingdom. And, we don't want to get to the extreme of elevating creatures, animals, and things above others, or placing more importance on them than is necessary. But at the same time, we want to pay attention to the importance that God places on his creatures, that all of them are part of his creation. All of them are part of the world that he loves, that he sent Jesus for. Now, he sent Jesus for the sins of the world, and those creatures are part of the sins of the world. They're part of that corrupt creation. They are same kind of thing. They are subject to the corruption of sin. Whether I don't believe that animals have that ability to intentionally involve themselves in that. As smart as some animals are, dolphins and pigs and other things that are really quite intelligent animals, I don't think there's an intention behind them like there is behind us. And that's maybe where we wanna take it from here is, the cult is a willing participant in the work that God is doing. The cult is part of that which fulfills Scripture, part of the plan that is the fulfilling of the way God was bringing about redemption and bringing Jesus into Jerusalem. So he was a fulfillment of, or she, a colt. I don't know. I don't know the difference there. I know foals and colts and donkeys and mules and all of that. I don't know. So I'm just going to go with it. I don't know that the animal knew what really was going on or that he was destined to fulfill Isaiah's scripture about the king humble and riding on a donkey, the colt of a foal of a donkey. But, all of these things during Palm Sunday are part of fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. The colt, the riding into Jerusalem, the waving of palm branches, the proclamation of Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the coming kingdom of David. All of these are part of God's redemptive plan for Jesus. His plan for bringing about the deliverance from the bondage to sin of all of his creation, including the colt he was riding on. The problem is that even though the colt may not have known, the people ought to have known. The people ought to have been aware of who Jesus was. He wasn't a coming king in the sense of a revolution. He wasn't a coming king in the sense of dethroning the Romans from their political authority. He wasn't a coming king in the sense of establishing Jerusalem as the capital city of all creation. He wasn't there. He wasn't there to set up an earthly kingdom. And that's, again, we do this every Palm Sunday, but that's what the people were expecting. That's what the disciples were expecting. And so this cult unsuspectingly brings Jesus into the midst of this turmoil, into the midst of this confusion, into the midst of a people who have no idea really about what Jesus is planning to do, about what the plan of God is in Christ at this point. And sometimes I think that we as human beings, even today, we can often misinterpret what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to follow Christ, what it means to live in a country that some feel still that was once based on Christian principles. We can argue that all day long. I'm not going to here. But at the same time, we live in this country that we feel like we have some sort of privilege or some sort of hold on Jesus that sets us apart, like the nation did when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. And that somehow, some way, Jesus is going to deliver us from this political turmoil, this confusion of all sorts of politics and nationalism and all that other stuff. But that's not what Jesus is here to do, folks. He's not here to, he hasn't risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity to make us Christians somehow better than any other. He was there in Jerusalem, just like he is today, to redeem us from the corruption of the world in its form of sin, and that involves every aspect of it. The corruption of creation, the corruption of our own hearts. That's what Jesus is here to do. He's here to justify, to make us right with God, which is the only way that it can be done. We can't be made right with God by any other means. We can't work it out. We can't figure it out. We can't throw our cloaks on the road or wave palm branches enough to make ourselves right with God. We can't all ride in on donkeys and things like that. That's not what happens. It's Jesus who does that. And it's Jesus who forgives, who redeems, who sanctifies, who all of the big Christian words we use to talk about saving us from the destruction that awaits through sin. And we're thankful that this time of year, when we're getting ready to celebrate Easter, that God's plan worked out the way that it did. It didn't work out the way that the people thought it would as Jesus came into town. I don't know what the donkey thought about how it was going to work out, but it certainly didn't play out as most people thought it would. It didn't play out with Jesus taking the throne and kicking the Romans out. That's not the way it worked. If you read history, if you follow the scriptures, you know that's not the way that it worked. Jesus goes from riding the donkey to carrying his cross. From riding the donkey as the humble king entering his kingdom to the one who is accused and carries the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders to the cross. That's the plan. That's what's coming for Jesus as he rides into town on the donkey. The donkey doesn't know it. The people don't know it. The disciples don't know it. Only Jesus knows it. And he goes through it. He goes through it, and he doesn't correct the people and say, no, that's not what I'm here to do. He doesn't correct his disciples and say, no, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to start a revolution or cause something else to happen. I'm here to redeem everyone. I'm here to die on the cross for everyone, for the sins of the whole world, of all time, of all people. That's what I'm here to do. And that's what he does. So as we enter into Holy Week, we ride the donkey with Jesus. We find ourselves on the side of the road waving palm branches. We throw our cloaks on the road and we fall on our knees and worship and praise of the work that God does. He does through all of his creation. And on a sort of a side note, we take care of God's creatures. This is a... Maybe consider this like at the end of Price is Right, how Bob Barker used to always say, have your pets spayed or neutered, we take care of creation. We care for the gifts that God has given us. Not because we think there's some sort of mystical weirdness. I think we take care of animals because that's what we're here to do. We take care of our dogs, our cats, our whatever other creatures we have hanging around the house. We feed the squirrels. We feed the birds. We take care of the gifts that God has given us. So there you go. That's the donkey. That's Palm Sunday. And I hope that you have the opportunity to worship this Holy Week in one way or another, online or in person or some other way. That you can, if you are able to, you can join us on Easter Sunday. We'll be broadcasting like we do every other Sunday
at 10:30. We'll probably broadcast at 10 o'clock. I think probably at 10 o'clock this week, because not this week, Easter. But we'll also have live streams for Maundy Thursday. We'll have live streams for Good Friday, so you can participate that way. Look forward to it. Excited to see it. And praise Jesus. Amen.